Good evening, everyone. My name is Savannah Thorpe. I go by Sav, and I am so excited to welcome you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senate Minority Leader Jay Casa of the 43rd Senate District will be taking your calls, and he is joined tonight by Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey. Together, the two of them will be discussing the city's report on nonprofit tax-exempt status. Senator Casa will be taking questions on this topic during this discussion, as will Mayor Gainey. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further ado, I would like to welcome State Senator Jay Casa. Over to you, Senator.
Thanks, Tab, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to enjoy part of our conversation on telephone town hall this evening. I think as many of our listeners know, we do this frequently over the course of the year, and this last week we had a nice conversation about the governor's budget address and what it means for Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. As Sav said, tonight I'm joined by my friend and Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey, and we're going to discuss his executive order that deals with providing for an assessment of the nonprofit status and tax-exempt status of various nonprofit organizations across Pennsylvania, across Pittsburgh. This has been a topic that's been around for a number of years in Harrisburg and continues to be something I think a lot of folks really take seriously and want to know more about. So that's why we've asked the mayor to join us this evening. So without much further ado, I'm going to ask the mayor to jump in and give some remarks, and then also then after that we'll jump into questions. Mayor?
Good evening, and thank you, Jay, for holding such an important meeting. I appreciate it. As always, I definitely respect your leadership and appreciate all you've done for the Commonwealth. Thank the audience for being here today. I appreciate you joining us. This is going to be a great conversation and one we're looking forward to. As you know, in January, I signed an executive order. The order was to direct the Finance and Law Department to begin reviewing the status of all, let me repeat that, all tax-exempt properties owned by purely public charities. Right now, you know, like I know, that 34% of the property in the city is designated as tax-exempt, meaning those owners pay do not have to pay any property taxes. In 1985, the Supreme Court, Pennsylvania Supreme Court, ruled that in order to be considered a purely public charity, an organization must meet all five prongs of the charity test. Let me read these prongs so that you'll know. The first one is to advance a charitable purpose. The second one is donate or render gratuitously a substantial portion of the service. The third one is to benefit a substantial and indefinite class of persons who are legitimate subjects of charity. The fourth one is to relieve government of some part of its burden and operate. The last one is to operate entirely free of private profit motive. If our charities are doing these things, then the city of Pittsburgh is benefiting from them, and we want them to continue to do great work. But if they're not, then they should pay their fair share. They should pay their property taxes. And so we're looking forward tonight to having this conversation and being able to answer questions. But before I go, I want to introduce someone else that's on the line, Pat Garofalo. He is of the American Economic Liberty Project. Pat, would you like to say a couple words before we begin?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everyone. My name is Pat Garofalo. I'm the Director of State and Local Policy at the American Economic Liberties Project, and I wrote a book called The Billionaire Boondoggle, which is about the use and abuse of corporate tax subsidies. So I've been researching and writing about tax exemptions and incentives for a really long time, and I can tell you there's a clear connection between the ability of firms to accrue financial power and then turn it into political power. And that's why the mayor's initiative is so important. The sort of property tax exemptions that he's examining is being collected unfairly, not only take revenue away from the city that could benefit everybody, but build the sort of power that ultimately harms small businesses, workers, and communities in the long run. So big kudos to the mayor. Thank you for Senator Casa for hosting this really important call, and let me know if I can tell you about any of this in more detail.
Great. Thank you both. Hey, Sav, why don't we start with some of the questions that we received online, and then we'll get some answers to them, and then we'll go to some of our callers.
That sounds good. I'm going to start with a question from Dan from Pittsburgh, who said, it seems likely that removing tax exemptions from any of our major charities would likely end up in court. Is the city prepared to take the necessary steps to ensure that our charities stop abusing their status? Senator Casa?
Thank you very much, Sav. It's a great question. There's no doubt that this whole process, at the end of it, could very likely mean that some of our entities could end up in court. And as the mayor indicated, there are many court cases, and more recently, one just 2 weeks ago, Commonwealth Court decision that further refined what it means to be a pure public charity. So there's no question it's likely some of these things may end up in court, as to whether the city's prepared to address it. I'll turn that over to the mayor or to the city school district. They may be interested as well.
Absolutely. If that's the road that we got to go down, we're very prepared. As we talked about before, we already know that there was a court case that was held up that said that, they were not purely public charity. And if they're not, then yes, we will definitely be going to court.
Thank you both very much. I'm going to start with another question that was submitted online from Jody. Jody said, as a UPMC nurse, I'm concerned about the quality of care we are able to provide. UPMC invests 3 times more on new buildings than they do on filling our staffing gaps. Will you be looking at UPMC's charity status and whether they're truly serving the community?
That's a great question, and we hear that a lot. But what we're doing is we're looking at all nonprofits. It's very important that we look at all nonprofits that are tax-exempt to make sure that they are passing the 5 prongs of a charity test. And the ones that are not, those are the ones that we will be going after.
And I want to echo the mayor's comments. I think that's exactly right. I think what's important here is we recognize this is not about one entity or one institution. It's about the city of Pittsburgh taking steps to ensure that those nonprofits, those folks who claim a tax exemption under the Public Charities Act of Pennsylvania and the HUP test, that they meet the criteria. It's an assessment to ensure that they're compliant with what the law says. And as we go through this process, we'll learn which ones will be, which ones are, and which ones are not.
Thank you both. I think we are ready to start taking some live calls. As a reminder to any of the callers we have on the line, if you would like to ask a live question, we invite you to press *3 on your keypad, and we will get to you as soon as we can. So next I'm going to go to Kay in Englewood. Kay, over to you. Kay, are you there?
Oh, hi. I would like to ask, there's a lot of people that have businesses that one of those, how they, the 1099, the nonprofit status, how can they do those, in a legal matter way instead of just, working their little plan and not doing it the legal way?
Well, we're going to try to... Go ahead. I think the question is, what steps are we going to take? We're going to do what we can to try to ensure that folks are compliant. And then I imagine from the city of Pittsburgh's perspective, I'll let the mayor speak to that in the school district. A lot of these challenges to the tax-exempt status of these entities really come from school districts as well because they have the lion's share of the taxes that are paid. But what I think the intent is to work with them and determine who is and who isn't compliant and take steps to address that. Mayor, anything you want to add?
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that, Jay. I think, again, we talked about the test that they're going to take to ensure that they are, purely a public charity. That's the main thing. That's number one. We need to review all our tax-exempt properties to ensure that they are really tax-exempt. That's where we're going to start, and from there, we'll take the necessary actions.
Thanks,
Dad.
Want to go to the next question?
Absolutely. I have another question submitted from online that wanted to know a little bit more. Christopher from Bloomfield asked a lot of questions about vacant properties that are owned by nonprofits. Is that something you are able to speak to?
Absolutely. Even if they're vacant property, we will definitely be taking a look at them. But I'm going to let my solicitor go a little bit more into detail on that.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Krisha Kubiak, and I'm the city solicitor. With respect to the test, the property has to be used and benefit the charitable purpose. So generally, I would say that vacant land does not contribute to a charity's charitable purpose. We'll, of course, look at this on a case-by-case basis. But most of the time, vacant land should be taxable until it is being used to really benefit the community.
Thank you so much. I have one more question that was submitted online. Someone asked about property taxes on homeowners and if there is anything going to be done about people who are paying too much in property taxes, given that we are currently working on holding nonprofits accountable and making sure that they pay their appropriate property taxes.
Well, the goal here is to ensure that the nonprofits are complying with the law and are paying their fair share. With regard to property taxes that individual residents or homeowners pay, and we continue to take steps to try to address that as well. Last year, we made significant impact in Harrisburg dealing with what's called the property tax and rent rebate program. We provided a 70% bonus and that tax reduction for seniors and longtime homeowners. This year, the governor has proposed another type of change that's going to allow for 700,000 folks along all across Pennsylvania to be able to enjoy higher income limits to allow them to be able to participate both in the renter side and also on the homeowner side. Beyond that, the working with Mayor Ganey and Representative Sarah DiMorato on legislation we refer to as the LOOP legislation, long-time owner-occupied properties, which would work to try to ensure that when you have situations where folks are being forced out of their homes, out of their neighborhoods because of increase in property values, that there'll be a process in place for folks who have been there a long time to be able to receive a reduction in their property taxes so that they're not forced out of the home because of property taxes. Those are some of the things we've done and some of the things we will be doing. In fact, next week, the mayor and I and Representative Morano will be doing an event to talk about that and highlight that legislation. We're hopeful to be able to get done very soon.
Mayor Ganey, we have
you
comment at all?
No, I mean, I think Jake said it perfectly. For us, we're just going to focus on the purely public charity and make sure that the ones that, again, like I said before, the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do, then they don't have nothing to worry about. The ones who don't, then we'll definitely want them to pay their fair share.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take one more question online while we have you all here. There's an individual online named Aiden who asked how you are preparing to hold major nonprofits, such as the big ones, accountable for past abuses of this nonprofit legislation. How far backwards will this audit be looking, and what will you do to take on some of the bigger powerhouses?
Mayor Ganey or Krisha, do you want to cover that?
Yes. Thank you, Senator. We will be starting from now. It will be this tax year for 2023. That will be the ones that we start to address. We can't go back in the past and make changes to people's prior taxes, but we will be addressing all we will be reviewing all of the properties that are currently listed as exempt in the system.
Thank you so much. We're about to go to a live caller, but once again, if you would like to ask a question live, we encourage you to press *3, and we will add you to the queue. So right now I'm going to go to Mizanor in Friendship. Mizanor, you are on the line.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my phone call. I have two questions. One, is there any statistics or research done to see how many big corporations or how many people or how many organizations are at fault evading this tax law and using it to their benefit? Second thing, we want everybody to pay a share. Sometimes there could be small mom-and-pop organization or foundation that are enjoying this status because they have no intention of evading this, but if there's a third party who can be in the middle could say if somebody is at fault, you know, so that they can get into lengthy lawsuits or anything, because it's hard to fight city or state or school district sometimes, even though you have the right intention. And the third thing, you know, I don't know how long this court would take to decide on it. Meanwhile, is there any stopgap matters that we can take?
Well, I will start with stopgap measures. I don't believe there'll be stopgap measures until such time as the assessment is done and seeing who's compliant and who's not. Then the city will make a determination what steps they may want to take after that. With regard to small businesses that may enjoy the avail themselves to the Public Charity Act that are nonprofits or public charities, I should say, if they've got the right intentions and are doing what needs to be done, I don't think they should be concerned at all. The issue relates primarily one of the major criteria is of acting for a purely private public, a purely profit, a private profit. And that's what the court found in a recent case. Coma court found that the salaries and the like and the salaries of the leadership that was based upon the profit of the entities was a driving factor, and that's not permitted. So if a small entity is doing what they need to do in accordance with the statute and with the constitutional case in Huff, then they would be able to, they should be successful.
Yeah, in 1985, the Supreme Court spoke, and they spoke clearly. In regards to it, as long as you pass the charity test, then you're fine. But if you can't, if you float, you know, you got to pass all five of them. That's the key. There are five prongs to this, and you have to pass each one of them. If you don't pass each one of them, then you're not living up to your responsibility. So it's all about the test. The Supreme Court put it out there in 1985. We're going to follow that. And in the charity test, they have to pass all five prongs.
Thank you both very much. We are next going to go to Connor in Friendship. Connor, you are on the line. Go ahead.
Thanks, Sav. So you guys actually kind of answered the question I had, but I guess to dive a little bit deeper, Ed, from the kind of five prongs, is there kind of like an eligibility criteria, or is there like a checklist as to say, okay, this person met the definition or this person did not meet the definition? How what's kind of like the procedure going to look like for you guys determining, okay, nonprofit A has, you know, met criteria of prong three. Can you touch on that a little bit deeper?
Yeah, they have to meet all five prongs. So they have to meet all five of them. You know, they have to meet one of them, and I'll read them again. One of them is they have to be able to demonstrate they can advance a charitable purpose. That's number one. Number two, they got to donate or render a substantial portion of its services. That's number two. Number three, it has to benefit a substantial and indefinite class of persons who are legitimate subjects of charity. Number four, it has to relieve government of some part of its burden. And five, it has to operate entirely free of private profit motives. It has to pass each and every one of them. That's what it has to do. Chris?
And I would add, that's the first part of the test. So the mayor described the HUP test with those five prongs. So after the HUP test was decided, we enacted Act 55 in Harrisburg a number of years ago, which went to great lengths to incorporate those five prongs, but also go into great detail about what is and what isn't, something along those lines. So it goes into great detail to define each one of those characteristics, each one of those elements of what a public charity looks like. And it tells us exactly what, like you said, can you check these boxes? That's kind of what you do. You look at the criteria, and it says very clearly what is and what isn't meeting that standard. And that's the second part of the conversation. So you start with the five and the HUP test, then you go to the state statute, and then determine what's taking place here. And that's what the court did in the Commonwealth Court case recently. They weren't even able to get past the first one of the five prongs in the HUP test. They never even got to the second part of it to be able to determine that, but they did utilize portions of that.
I just want to add, we do have, the way we're doing our review, which I think was another part of your question, is that we do have a group of attorneys in the law department who are looking at all publicly available information, which includes the charity's Form 990, in addition to their website, news articles, et cetera, anything else that's available about the charity to determine whether or not it meets this test. And following our review, and once we have let the county know that we are objecting to it, we will also be taking information from the charity if they choose to send it to us for us to reconsider our decision if there's something that we missed along the way. So there's always that availability as well. But it is our attorneys who are reviewing each of these tests. There are, since 1985, I'd say there's about 200 or 300 cases that define this test in more detail. So our lawyers are relying on that precedent to kind of help them, guide them on whether or not a charity meets each element of these tests.
Thank you so much. We're next going to go to Louise in Point Breeze. Louise, you are on the line. Go ahead.
Thank you. I guess for years there's been a battle with the hospitals for not paying taxes, and I noticed that since that time it seems like they've acquired more and more buildings in the city of Pittsburgh which have taken them off the tax roll. Will this deal with that as well, or have they been fully cleared of any responsibility for paying taxes on those buildings?
Yes, we're going to take a look at all that. You're absolutely correct. We know that there's been acquisitions of many buildings and also new developments, and we're going to take a look at all that.
Thank you, Mayor. Next, we're going to go to John in Southside. John, you are on the line. John,
hello. Yes. Do you have any numbers on the large corporations that are not taxable? Do you have any numbers, like 2, 3, 10, or 15?
No, we don't have the numbers right now. That's why we're going through the review. The review will let us know exactly how many numbers we have. That's all part of the review, and that's what the solicitor team will be working on, a review that will allow us to know which one of them passed the charity test and which one, and those that don't.
Senator, anything from you to add?
No, the mayor's right. We don't have a definitive number. I'm sure maybe the county does based upon their assessments, but as this is an annual process, but any year the school district or the city could challenge the tax exempt status. But I think that's something we might be able to find out for you and get back the information to you.
Thank you so much, Senator. Next, we're going to go to Dan in Southside. Dan, go ahead. You're on the line.
Hi there. So we've been talking a lot about tax exemptions, specifically discussing their property tax exemptions. I'm kind of curious, some of our, you know, largest charities are not just the largest landowners, they're also the largest employers. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they also are exempt from paying their payroll processing taxes. Are we also planning on examining, you know, whether or not they should be paying, you know, those taxes as well?
I'm going to defer to Tricia, but I think that if they lose their tax exempt status, that would have an impact on the payroll preparation taxes they pay as well. Tricia?
Yeah, Senator Coffey, you have it exactly right. We believe that our review and whatever happens through the review will inform our decisions on the payroll tax.
Thank you. As a reminder to people who are listening, if you've just tuned in, if you have a question that you would like to ask, please press *3 on the keypad on your phone, and we will get to you. Next up, we are going to Denise in the Carrick area. Denise, go ahead.
Hi. Mine's completely off topic of taxes. Mine's more on the crime in the area. And what I'm kind of curious about is how, as the mayor or how, as a senator, do you control, say, the DA on going on to a public forum, say the news, and giving out information that may or not be true, and putting out information before an investigation is completed, and it's creating a chaos in the city when people don't understand what really happened in any particular case? And if the DA is giving out information, you're tampering with how a case can be handled and how either the person being accused or the victim's cases are being handled.
Okay. Go ahead, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Let me say thank you for that question. There's a lot to unpack in that question right there that, you know, I want to give you a number, 412-255-2626. You can call and we can have that conversation offline. But there's a lot to unpack there, and we really want to focus on on the issue that we're talking about today, or tax exempt property. We really want to focus on that. But I don't want you to think that I'm blowing you off. Conversation I'm willing to have with you offline. So let me give you the number again: 412-255-2626. That's the conversation that we can have offline. But we really want to focus on getting questions in regards to the strategy that we're using to review tax exempt property.
Thank you, Denise.
Chad? We're next going to go to Tom from Southside. Tom, you're on the line. Go ahead. Tom, can you hear us?
Yes. Good evening. My question is, do you have any estimate as to how much revenue may be generated from this proposal?
This proposal right now, or how much revenue we believe that that the city is losing? I'm not sure about that question.
I think right now it's hard to say exactly how much will come in until the assessments or the compliance check is complete. But I think the amount of money, the mayor, I think you indicated, you can indicate again what the total amount of nonprofit property holdings are in Pittsburgh would be helpful. But how much of that may be recouped, it's hard to say until they go through the process.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, right now we don't have that exact number, but we can tell you about 40% of the property is untapped. So when you think about it from that perspective, We'll have that number as we go forward and continue to review these properties, but it would be premature for me to say exactly what that number is right now until we review the properties.
Thank
you. 40% right now, let me be clear, 40% of the property is untaxed.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. We're next going to go to Jen in Glen Hazel. Jen, go ahead.
Good evening. I would like to thank you for having this meeting and including myself. I'm an advocate for people with disabilities. Do you include them in your accommodations? I'm quite sure the disability groups have a lot of questions, but do you include them in your accommodations? Because I'm sure we all have something to say about everything. But I was just wondering, do you include people with disabilities?
That's a great question. And I think through the process, I expect that the city will be including folks from the disability community, not only at getting their input in terms of the level of services that are provided to the community and whether or not they're meeting those needs, but also as it relates to those entities that are advocates or providers in that space to ensure that they certainly meet the criteria, which I expect that they would going forward.
Yeah, you know, we're definitely going to reach out to the disability community. There's no question about that. We'll reach out and we'll have conversation. There'll be a second one that we have with them, and then we can focus exactly on this. We actually have been planning to meet with them again, and we can incorporate this into the meeting. I really appreciate that question, and I thank you for it. But as we go forward, our job is to make sure we communicate with all people.
Thank you both very kindly. Oh, go ahead. We next have a question from someone submitted online. Is there some middle ground between not paying any property taxes at all and paying the city for the services they're making use of? I believe this is a question having to do with a middle ground for some of these nonprofits who may not pass this audit.
Yeah, right now, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, yes, there is a middle ground, and that's what we had in place after the HUP test came.
Hello?
Senator, I think we lost you. Mr. Mayor, you can go ahead.
Hello? I'm going to let the solicitor answer that one.
At this point, we're doing the review just to see all of the properties and to determine whether or not they meet the standards of the test and Act 55 that Senator Costa has been talking about beforehand. We're just looking into that, and we are not exploring any other options at this point.
Thank you very kindly. As a reminder to folks who are calling in, if you just joined, you can press *3 on your keypad and have your question asked. Next, we are going to Lynn in Polish Hill. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, I forgot the question. One of the things I wanted to ask is this. Is it possible for the IRS to intervene on organizations that do not pay property taxes if they're reported as not paying property taxes to the city they operate in?
So I'm not sure if I understand your question. Are you asking, let me say this.
I'm asking, is it possible to involve the federal government in relationship to organizations that do not pay property taxes that are pretending to be nonprofits?
I see. So our review is only limited to property taxes because that's what the city of Pittsburgh has control over. And the IRS has a completely different standard in order to determine whether or not someone is a charity on the federal level. So our review won't impact that. I have heard that the IRS is looking to make their review more rigorous, but that's going to be up to the federal government, and that's beyond our purview. Thank you for your question.
Thank you so much. Next, we are going to go to Harry in Shadyside. Harry, go ahead.
Hey, hi, gentlemen.
I understand you don't want to name names, but if you're talking 40%, we're really talking about universities and the hospitals. Is this correct? And is there anybody else in the city, any other institutions you guys are looking at seriously?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, but, you know, that's why we're looking at everybody. That's why we want to review. It's not about focusing on one or two or three. It's about doing a whole review so that we're accurate on what we're doing. And we're making sure that we're being fair across the board, and that's what this review is about. We will get those answers based on the review, but we're going to follow the review to give us the answers that we need.
Can I also just add, we're also looking to see if there were, you know, mistakes that were made in the government records, whether or not there was fraud involved. So there's lots of different, we're doing a larger good government review of all of these to make sure that the properties that are marked as exempt are actually purely public charities. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we're going to go to Claire in Oakland. Claire, go ahead.
Thank you. My question really has to do with the process that you are undertaking. If 34% of the properties in the city are held by tax exempt, so-called nonprofits, and this whole process is a very intricate five-pronged and then going after them to get the payments and then the suits that surely will arise and then going through the courts, it could take more than most of our lifetimes. And so my question is, how are you setting the criteria for addressing this or reviewing this so that, for example, the largest in terms of dollars or largest in terms of properties are being done first, so that in my lifetime and yours, and Mayor Ganey's term, we see some effect. Because when a new mayor comes in and a new county commissioner comes in and whatever, you know, things may change.
Well, I will say we're going to finish this review, and we hope to see results definitely by the end of this year, and then without a doubt by the end of next year. So we will be working very hard, and we will also be actively making sure that these cases are moving expeditiously through the judicial system if they end up there. I will say some people we may present to them the evidence that these properties are not being used for a charitable purpose, and they may agree with us. And so I hold that hope that people will realize that they don't have a case to defend and that there will be agreements and settlements along the way.
Thank you so much. And a number of people online have asked when you anticipate the review will be completed. Can you speak to the timeline in any more depth?
I don't know when the review will be completed. We have already started it. We started at the beginning of this month. We've gotten everyone trained. We do expect that we will have more information in short order within the next month or so. But I don't know when the entirety of the review will be completed because there's a lot of properties to review. Will probably take much longer than that.
Excellent. And James online asks, while this will apply to all nonprofits, how will the reviews be prioritized?
We are prioritizing by working through the largest properties. We're looking at ones that we believe that, are suspects, I guess is one way to put it. We are also very much taking the reports from the community, and that has been really helpful to us. So if you have any nonprofit that you believe does not qualify as a purely public charity, please let us know at report@pittsburghpa.gov. By sending us, we review every single one of those. I get a daily update on the emails that come into that box, and we review them, and that helps to guide our decisions.
Thank you so much. Next, we're going to go to Dan in Squirrel Hill. Dan, go ahead. You're live.
Hi. So thanks for this conversation. And so the properties will be reviewed, even, you know, if it's a larger nonprofit that has a lot of properties, on a property by property basis. Is that right?
That is correct.
Right. Yes.
So assuming that, you know, for some of the larger nonprofits with a lot of properties, you know, it takes maybe more than a year to review all their properties. Will their, you know, suggested property tax liability be updated over time as the review continues? What's the plan for that?
Repeat that one more time. I just want to make sure I heard you. I'm sorry. Repeat it one more time.
I think the issue is that, Krisha, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, but you have a deadline with regard to when it's appropriate to file an appeal to an tax-exempt status, which I suspect would be early next year. Is that correct? So you have one opportunity to do it annually. Is that correct?
We do have one opportunity to do it annually, which is the end of March.
Yeah.
So that will end up going into it. But we will continue the review at all times, and we will try and get through as many properties as we can.
So to answer Dan's question, if they don't get the appeal filed to say that they're not tax exempt, they would have to wait until the following year to be able to file that claim at that point in time. But they'll continue to do work in the interim to be able to position those cases to move forward.
We have a question online that follows up on that question asking, will this be enforced as you go, or will it be one giant enforcement moment?
Yes,
No, you go. You got it.
We will be working on these continuously, but there is only one period of time that we can file all of our objections to the county. And so that will happen once a year.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Sarah in South Hills. Sarah, go ahead. You are live.
Thank you. I was wondering if this not-for-profit investigation is going to be running parallel or if it's going to have any impact on the investigation into the monopsony status of one of our larger nonprofits. And I'm thinking about the low wages that were brought up in the testimony last year plus not-for-profit status. I mean, just the impact on Pittsburgh's local economy is huge. So I was just wondering how those two might be correlated or if they're correlated at all.
Thanks, Sarah. Senator?
I'm not aware of there any correlation between the two. I think the intent is described is to do what I call an assessment to ensure that our public charities are compliant with the statute and with the case law.
That's correct, Senator.
Thank you all. Aiden online has asked, will those be found as using their nonprofit status face any punitive actions? Will the city or state pursue any fraud charges where it's appropriate?
As it relates to the state, it's a function of what comes out of the reports and whether or not there's something that's there to be able to pursue. So it's still unclear whether that would be the case, but specifically if there's something that's clearly fraudulent and very obvious, misrepresentation, I think that's something possibly that the Attorney General might be able to look at going forward because the jurisdiction for nonprofits and charitable organizations rests with the Attorney General. So it's just a matter of what comes out of the review that they do, and if there's anything worthy of that type of review is another entity, with another entity outside of the city following the appeal.
Yeah, and I just echo that. If the city at any time that they do a review, if they find something that they feel is criminal, they make a referral to the police department on it. But that's not the purpose of the review right now.
Thank you both. Next, we're going to go to Loretta in Squirrel Hill. Loretta, go ahead. You're live.
Hi. I have a question or food for thought. We have a lot of colleges, Chatham, Point Park, CMU, Carlo, Pitt, Duquesne, in the city of Pittsburgh, along with churches, temples, synagogues, along with the major hospitals. If everybody's trying to get them to prove that they are really non-exempt, why can't we try to get them to maybe 5% sales tax, or give them a number, instead of spending all the tax dollars looking for this and helping the city grow and the city economy and helping the police, the fire, to pay the citizens to stay in the city for the property taxes.
Thanks, Loretta. Senator, do you want to start?
Yes. If we're going to charge a flat tax to nonprofits, then we'd have to have changes to the legislative changes and may have to amend the Constitution, because these are the public charities that exist and have criteria that the folks can meet. And to be able to charge them a flat tax would be something we'd have to do at the state level, and then possibly the city would have, maybe we could, the city or county enabling legislation, be able to do something along those lines. But I don't think that's the intent here. I think the intent is to just do an honest assessment of who's doing it right and who's not, and figuring out what steps we can take to be able to address how they can pay their fair share.
Yes, Jay, you're correct. I mean, this is an assessment of, again, who can pass the test and who can't. That's what we have to focus on. That's how we build our case.
Thank you very kindly, Mr. Mayor. A number of people online have asked if parking lots will be included in this audit.
Yes, they will.
That is a very easy answer. Thank you so much. Another individual online has asked about the impact of this audit on education funding and if there are any other updates on education funding that there are to share. Senator?
So there's certainly education updates that I can provide as it relates to certainly what we did last year in the general fund budget, where we gave about $1.5 billion in resources to our Commonwealth school districts across Pennsylvania and other programs, school safety programs, mental health programs in our schools, and a variety of other spaces. This year, the governor, Governor Shapiro, has proposed about $567 million increase in basic education, $100 million in special ed, $30 million in early learning programs. All very, very important, with a 2% increase across the board for higher education. So, again, putting resources in the school safety program, $100 million, and another $100 million into mental health programs in the schools, and even money into community mental health programs as well, that all have an impact in our, on our schools. So there will be an impact there from the state perspective, and hopefully we'll be able to do that, and if not more, this upcoming year. The impact that this review will have on entities across the city will result in, I hope, more resources coming into the city of Pittsburgh, certainly the city of Pittsburgh, and if the school district takes the same steps. And again, it's important to know that school districts share the property tax burden that people have to deal with comes from the city school district. It's probably 3 or 4 times higher than the city taxes or the county taxes. That being said, that if the outcome of this review and what happens with the tax exempt status of all these entities has a more profound impact on school districts and their ability to generate revenue to help them offset their expenses going forward. So this could be a plus for the city of Pittsburgh school district.
Mr. Mayor?
No, I agree. I agree with Jay said right there. I mean, I think he spoke volumes. I'll see right now in regards to resources to make sure that if they're not paying their fair share, that they do pay their fair share. And it could be, it could help the city, it could help education at the city level as well. But our focus is on reviewing these properties, making sure, seeing which ones pass the test, and the ones who are not, making sure that they pay their fair share.
Thank you so much. Jake online has asked, would it be the city or the county that is conducting this audit? And if it's the city, what would prevent organizations from moving to the suburbs for lower taxes?
City's going to do it. This will be a city initiative. The city will do a review. Like I said earlier, I'm the one to sign the executive order to have my law department, the finance department, to review these properties to make sure that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. In regards to them moving to the suburbs, not too much I can really say about that. I don't see that occurring. I really don't see that occurring. But what I do see occurring is that if you look at 40% of our property being untaxed, we need to find out if they're doing exactly what they say they're doing. And that's number one. We have to make sure that we're building a city that is safe, welcoming, and thriving for everybody. And part of it is making sure that people pay their fair share.
And I think it's important to note that the criteria that they have to meet is not City of Pittsburgh criteria. It's
right.
State law, and it's part of our court cases. So if they're in the city or in the county, they've got to meet the same standard. If they don't meet the standard, they're not going to meet the standard in the county as well. So whether it's a city or county, they're not meeting the standard, they're not going to be considered tax exempt.
Thank you so much, Senator. I have another question online from Fran, who has asked about residential properties that are owned by universities where university personnel reside. Will these properties be included in the audit?
Yes, all properties owned by all nonprofits will be reviewed, and that does include residences.
Thank you so much. Next, we are going to go to Vicki in Homeland. Vicki, go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling about, I live in Homewood, and I'm calling about, I don't know how this ties in with the taxes too much, but I'm calling about the homes that are abandoned. And there's so many out here in Homewood. Well, I know there's some other places, but it seems like it's a lot in Homewood, and I'm just wondering, is it because someone owns the house and they pay their taxes on it, but it's abandoned? Or I just don't understand why there's so many and none of them get tore down.
Thank you so much. Senator?
Well, yeah, I mean, the abandoned homes all across the Commonwealth are an issue. And local governments always struggle to deal with that. Having resources available to be able to tear them down, for example, or try to get them into a process where someone else can purchase them is a really long, protracted process. To tear them down, back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, used to cost $10,000 or so to tear a property down. I can't speak to the amount now, but it's probably closer to $20,000 or $25,000 to tear each home down. So it gets to be expensive for a local government, and many of the small ones that don't have the capacity to do that. So that's part of the reason why it's difficult. Changing the title of properties and giving folks the opportunity and finding out who owns them to be able to, you know, put them up for tax sale or share sale also makes it difficult as well. That process is very cumbersome and timely.
Yes, first I want to thank you for the question. Again, I'm going to give you a number because we can go more into detail. But I have my economic development person here too, my deputy mayor. He's going to give you a brief answer, then I'm going to give you a number. We can talk about it offline because I really want to focus on what we're doing here today. I think it's very important that we get as many questions as possible. So I'm giving 1 minute to just speak on it. But other than that, I'm going to give you a number, and we can talk offline on that.
Thanks, Mayor. This is Deputy Mayor Jake Pollack. So there's a big difference between tax delinquent properties, which are largely the ones that are vacant and abandoned that you're referring to, and tax-exempt properties, which is the focus of this review. So there are many properties that are on the tax rolls, but where those taxes haven't been paid. Those are frequently ones where no one's living there, and they've fallen into disuse and are in bad shape. It's an entirely different set of rules and procedures for addressing those. But one thing I will point out to the mayor's point is that and Senator Costa's point is our ability to have the funds to quickly and appropriately and safely deal with those vacant properties is directly related to the revenues we bring in, and thus whether we are or aren't taxing valuable but tax-exempt properties. So I do think that indirectly resolving this question could put us in a position to better address blight and vacancy in some neighborhoods, but they're two distinct issues because it's very rare that a nonprofit owns and is not paying taxes on a vacant or delinquent property.
But I'd like you to call this number because I know you're talking about some property that's next to you. So the number is 412-255-2626. Give us a call tomorrow. You can ask for Jake Pollack, Ed Gainey, or Cal, and we can answer those questions from there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Next, we are going to Irma in the Hill District. Irma, go ahead.
I was wondering if, in the event that the nonprofit is not paying their fair share and they're made to pay more, will that have a big impact on the services that they are giving to the public? Say, if a hospital, will that increase the prices for the people that have to use the services?
Well, I'll say, one part of the test is whether or not they're working for a private profit motive. So at that point, they were already not using that money for services, but we're instead perhaps, one example is, you know, giving their executives millions and millions of dollars. So I would argue that the property taxes are a small portion of what some of these nonprofits would end up paying, and that they could cut back on executive pay as opposed to cutting back on services.
Yeah, we want to just make sure that they're, you know, I mean, to be quite frank, that they're good corporate partners, citizens, that they're good employers, and that they, you know, provide great service providers. They provide great services that they say they're going to provide. It shouldn't be about them going up. It should be about them paying their fair share. You know, we're not asking them to go up on their services. We're saying that we're 40% untaxed, and we want to make sure that those are not or don't meet the charity test, that they're paying their fair share to the city. It's the only way we're going to get the city to grow if everybody is on the same, is rolling in the same direction. So we're not asking for anything that, you know, it should push up any type of prices. What we're asking for is that if you're not passing the charity test, pay your fair share.
And I think it's important to note that this review has nothing to do or any question about the services that are provided. You know, we're very fortunate. We have some of the best health care institutions in the country here in the Pittsburgh region. We have some of the best universities and colleges here. We have some of the best organizations that provide charitable services as providers. This is not a question about the quality of the services that they provide. This is just whether or not they're meeting the criteria that they need to meet and be able to provide those services. And I expect that the high level of services that they provide now will continue whether or not they're tax exempt or not.
Thank you so much, Senator. I'm going to summarize a number of questions that we have gotten online, and then I think this will maybe be the last question for you all to answer. A number of people have asked about how this audit would impact the people who are employed by some of these nonprofits, whether this will have an impact on their employment, on their wages, or any of those other factors that impact our working families. Can any of you speak to the impact this will have on the people employed by these nonprofits?
It won't have an impact on the people employed by the nonprofits. This is directly about making sure the ones that don't pass that charity test again are paying their fair share. That's all it's about.
And at the end of the day, if they are, for example, required to pay some portion of their entity or their particular piece of property or facility ends up becoming taxable, we expect that they'll manage that within the of that entity or that organization and have no bearing on what they pay or what benefits they provide. It should not to that employee. Again, this is about assessing whether or not they meet a criteria and going forward, and as was mentioned earlier, figure out if there's a resolution that we can work out that addresses and provides the fair amount of taxation or fair amount of resources they should be provided for the city services that are provided to those entities. We haven't talked a lot about what city services that they're providing to the nonprofits in this commonwealth, or excuse me, in the city. So when you think about the police and fire and EMS protection and the like, and other services, that this is going to, you know, we forget that we're providing that service to those entities as well. And that's why I think there needs to be a fair share appropriated from them to assist in that regard.
Thank you so much, Senator, and I think that brings us sort of to the end of this evening's telephone town hall. Would you like to offer some final words, Senator?
Yeah, well, let the mayor go first and provide some final comments, and then I'll wrap up with a couple of things I want to mention to the listeners.
First, I want to thank you, Senator, for your leadership on this. This is a major review that we're doing. It's very important, and I'm going to have your support. I can't thank you enough. To all the people that called in with some questions, I want to thank you for your participation. But I also want to make sure that if you know of any nonprofits that you're not sure, that you think may not be acting as a purely public charity, I want you to email them to us at report@pigstarpa.gov. Let me repeat that again, report@pigstarpa.gov. We want you, we need your help. We want your help. We want to get this right. We know that going down this road may take some time, but it's only going to take time because we want to make sure we're doing it the right way. So I just want to thank for everybody. I want to thank my solicitor for being here as well. And again, if you know any properties that you're not sure of, please report it to report@pigstarpa.gov.
Thank you, Mayor, very much, and thank you for doing this review. As we indicated, it's very timely, particularly given that there have been recent court cases that have been continuing to address this issue, and we look forward to working with you along those lines.
I, too, want to thank all the folks who participated in this evening's telephone town hall. We'll be doing another one as we get closer to our budget conversation and wrapping up our budget priorities here in Pennsylvania as we go forward. I do want to mention that for the City of Pittsburgh folks who are on the line, on April 29th, we're going to be doing another shredding event over in Bloomfield in the parking lot across from the parking garage. It's 9:30 to noon on April 29th. It's a Saturday. So hopefully see folks who want to come to that shredding event. Meantime, our office is available to you. You can reach us by phone at 412-241-6690, or you can reach us by, you know, checking into our webpage at senatorcosta.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being our host and moderator and all the folks who participated this evening. Have a great evening, folks. Good night.
Thank you so much, Senator. And one more plug before everyone leaves. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, you can remain on the line, and you'll be able to leave a voicemail that will go right to the Senator's office, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you all so much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of your evening. So long, everyone.
Good night.